Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 88, Let God Clean Your Clock. Today is Friday, March 6th, 2009.
The sun is rising, most definitely. A new day is coming. Ooh, people are changing. Ain't it beautiful? Ooh, crystal blue persuasion.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 88, Let God Clean Your Clock. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. What a song. I love that song. Let me say that again. I love that song. It's so good. Crystal Blue Persuasion by Tommy James and the Shondells. Of course, it was taken from my Groovin' Flower Power Time Life CD. I'm getting some mileage out of this CD, I'm telling you. I think I should try to sell this on Pastor Paul's Club. What do you think? I mean, it's just so good. tomorrow when he looks down every town and every nation, all of his children, there'll be peace and good and brotherhood. A new day is coming. Love is the answer. Don't give it up and look to your soul. Open your mind. It's a new vibration. Love that song. I hope everything is going good for you. I hope your week was fantastic. We had another exceptional week at Pastor Paul's Mission. Let me give you the scoop. Pastor Paul's Mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and it's located in Disciples Ministries Historic Microcoda Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So in these hard times or challenging times, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 to register your household for monthly groceries. Do not be shy. Some statistics I heard this week, 55,000 people in Minnesota are laid off. So if you're one of those, give us a call. If you all call at once, we could be in trouble. But then again, we won't worry about that, will we? Got lots of food, lots of really good food. And Pastor Paul himself hands that food out. So you'll be able to meet Pastor Paul. He loves doing it. And when you call between 1 and 3, Carolyn will be the person that you will be talking to, and she will ask you some questions very simply, and then you'll be able to come in the next day to get groceries. So be sure to do that, because we know Minnesotans are having a hard time, as are a lot of people in the country. But then again, we're going to be resilient and bounce back. And let's face it, when we're going through a hard time, that is the time where people need to help each other out, right? Isn't that the peace and good and brotherhood, the good vibrations? So definitely come on down and get some groceries if you need those. And then you can be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations here in Minnesota. And, you know, some of you could be, you know, doing okay and you want to help out. We do need your support. And I want to mention that Minnesota has Minnesota Food Share this month. Or let me just back up again. The month of March is Minnesota Food Share. And I have a link in the show notes to Minnesota Food Share, so be sure to check that out. Basically, what that is that people are donating towards all 300 food shelves in Minnesota. So this is your chance, if you live in Minnesota, to donate to your local food shelf. Now, of course, Pastor Paul, we take the name Grocery Shelf. We always have. But there again, there are 300 organizations statewide throughout the state of Minnesota who do what Pastor Paul's does. And they serve their local communities. Pastor Paul's doesn't have boundary restrictions, so we are able to serve people throughout Minnesota, because we've been doing this for so many years, 30 years, we've been serving people groceries in Minnesota. But be sure to donate to your local food shelf, although we always need your support as well, so we're never going to turn away help. But Minnesota Food Share is the month of March, and Minnesota Food Share is an organization that has promoted support for food shelves for 30 years as well. So I have a link to their website, so be sure to check them out. And frequently asked questions about Minnesota Food Share. Pastor Paul's Mission is a member of Minnesota Food Share, and so you can definitely support us. You can also go to the top of the homepage. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, where you're going to find the show notes to today's podcast. So be sure to go there. You can leave a comment. And Flickr, where we share some of our historic photos. The podcast, where you can subscribe. Our store coming in the future. Hey, maybe we'll get the Groovin' Flower Power Time Life CD. You know, by now you have to want to have your own copy. And then Twitter, follow me and I will follow you. And definitely, we did the Twitter Get Ready to Rumble yesterday. Did quite a few tweets. My updates on my Twitter feed are just incredible. So I've got not a whole lot of connections, but I just feel really good about the people who are connecting to me and who I'm following as well. So be sure to follow me, and I can follow you on Twitter. Twitter has just been in the news a lot lately, so check it out. Anyways, what I do is while I'm recording Pastor Paul's message, I do a Twitter Rumble, and where I'm doing like live tweets as I'm listening to the recorded message. Pastor Paul's message, Let God Clean Your Clock, is just so incredible. It's so good. You're going to get a lot out of that message. One of the key things that Pastor Paul talks about in that message I'm going to mention on my Twitter was, only one creature doubts God. Even devils believe and tremble. But it was meant for man, the most favored, to distrust God. He talks about that in his message. He talks about famines, wars, rumors of wars, some prophetic things he says regarding people and banks and conflicts and all these different things. It's just really going to hit home when you listen to the message. You're gonna hear all of that as well. A really good message regarding time, of course. That's where the title, Let God Clean Your Clock. But time, and he associates your life is full of time. And it's just really good. So if you have any comments, if you want to leave a comment, ask a question, or give a testimony, you can also call our comment line. And that number is 1-715-808-0318. There again, let me say that again. If after listening to the message, you want to leave a comment, you ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony, call the comment line, 715-808-0318. You can also email me, Janine@PastorPaul.org. And I've left some links, special links, in the show notes. Be sure to go check those out. I like to check out the dates, of course. And we have significant dates. March 6th and actually May 12th. And I want you to know I made an error on last week's podcast. I said it was May 12th. It was actually May 10th. So this is May 12th this week. Anyway, so we basically, when I was checking into the links, we went into another history lesson here. On March 6th, the Dred Scott versus Sanford case, I have a link to that. And that was one event leading to the U.S. Civil War. So I have some other links regarding the territory of Wisconsin in 1836 to 1848, Minnesota Territory 1849 to 58, the American Civil War, all of these, and Dred Scott versus Sanford, the U.S. Supreme Court case, are all linked. So I have those in the special links. And then I also have a Minnesota Food Share link as well. So check those out. And the Dred Scott case is, of course, it's a significant constitutional case. I'll just let you go there and check it out. But one of the key things is that Dred Scott, part of Dred Scott, who was a slave, was actually in Minnesota, and it was the Minnesota Territory at that time. So it's just really kind of Minnesota history as well. Very interesting. And then there are scripture links as well, so you'll be able to check those out. Next Friday, be sure to join us here again Friday and subscribe so the podcast comes directly to you. But the episode 89 is going to be, it's called, I should say, Give Me Not Your Ram's Fat. So kind of sounds like an Old Testament, doesn't it? Give Me Not Your Ram's Fat. And I also have some bonus links too. Now, these links just have to do with me personally, some of the things that I've done and what I've been up to. Pinocchio, Pastor Paul and I went to visit. We went to the Minnesota Opera and we saw Pinocchio. It was so excellent. So if you're listening to this, today is Friday. They do have seats available through Sunday. Not many. It's just so good. So I have a link to just the story Pinocchio and the Minnesota Opera as well. And a couple of really cool parts in the opera. Of course, it was just absolutely so good. I was supposed to take my granddaughter Genesee, and she wasn't able to go. So Pastor Paul and I went. We just had the best time. We enjoyed it so much. One really, really good part was when they did the Field of Miracles, and also when they did the whales, when Pinocchio was in the big fish's belly. And that, I have also a connection, a link to Jonah, you know, the story of the whale, the big fish that swallowed Jonah as well. And then, of course, I have a link to Religulous, because last night after we came home from the opera, I was just so wide awake from the opera. So I'm looking through to find out, well, what is on TV? Of course, Religulous. Had to watch it. I was up really late watching that. It was really good. So I have a link to that as well. What did I get out of Religulous? Well, I got the connection, definitely the connection that seeking the Lord is where it's at. And if you seek him, you're going to find him. So, yeah, Religulous, seeking the Lord, you're going to find him. Yeah. So it was really, you know, you could tell that there was a lot of work put into making that movie. I also have a link to that on the, a little interview with Bill Maher and Larry King. So be sure to check that out. Interesting. 16% of people in the country are atheists and do not believe in God at all. So that is one thing I learned out of Religulous. I'm going to go back and revisit that and take a look at it again. There's just so many different parts to it. I think a lot of what, when I think about, you know, different things that he talked about, interviews that he had with different people and just kind of the unbelief involved in Religulous, you know, it really made me think about Pastor Paul's message today, where he talks about looking at the creature rather than the creator. And one thing, you know, to look at people, we're always going to find things wrong with people. And it is very discouraging. It is very discouraging. And another thing that he talks about in that movie too, that I can relate to, is, you know, just really kind of the hustle, you know, definitely. And a lot of really interesting points. And yeah, it was really good. I think another thing in his interview, when he Bill Maurer is talking to Larry, he's talking about how people just slowly, one step at a time, they become unbelievers. That's something too. One step at a time. I think a lot of that has to do with your heart is hardened. One step at a time. I think believing is one step at a time too. But definitely the key thing is a personal relationship that help me, I'm in trouble conversation. I think that's a good one. And you know, another thing is that when you really need guidance and you really are in trouble or you are facing decisions, whatever the case may be, but you know very well that the counsel of men is just so limited, you definitely need to seek a higher power. And that relationship will develop. But I have really rambled on. It's like 17 minutes, and you know what? I mean, I do not even want to do any editing or any of this at all. Let's just go with it. So we've got like 20 minutes. It's a long one. Have a great week. Come back here. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, like I said, give us a call. You know, it all started with this movie. The Iconoclast. Whew. I don't know. Iconoclast.
Today's message is entitled, Let God Clean Your Clock. Today let's enter into Numbers 11 and 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hands wax short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Is the Lord's power limited? Sometimes we think it is, don't we? Very interesting. We have been given the task of believing God to feed thousands. And should we doubt now? Different things are in the wind now that might make you kind of want to tremble, but should we rely on man or should we rely on the hand of the Lord? The Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Wait a minute. Don't you remember all those other times that I delivered you? Why now do you think my hand is shorter? No. You just wait on me. It'll come to pass. Believe it or not. Woo. But should we doubt now when God is beginning to move in a greater way? God made a positive promise to Moses that for one full month he would feed the vast hosts in the wilderness. But you know what happened to him? He came into sort of a fit of unbelief. Did you ever have those fits? sort of a fit of nervousness. Do you ever have those fits? Yeah, you do. Fits. He looks to the outward means, and he starts to look around and say, well, how's he ever going to fulfill this one? Look at these multitudes of people out here in the middle of the wilderness. And he starts to get anxious. He starts to have a grocery check, an inventory. Let's see, we got 3 cans of beans, we got this, we got that. This ain't going to do no good. Anyway, how can this promise ever be fulfilled? And they just got done going through the Red Sea, and you know, God had delivered them and all these things, and right in the middle of everything, in the middle of a miracle, he has a fit. Don't your children have fits once in a while? Don't they worry about, well, what are they going to eat? There's nothing here. Well, what am I going to wear to school? Everybody else has got everything. How about me? And he starts to think, shall the flocks and the herds be slain? But if we do that, when we get to the new land, what are we going to have left when we get over there? I mean, we can eat right now, but if we eat right now, what will happen when we get over there? Maybe we should hoard it up. Yeah, but if we hoard it up, then we'll starve to death now, right? So many people right now are trying to hoard up blessings and get a whole lot of blessings over on their side. Doesn't work that way. God gives you things one at a time or you just get spoiled rotten. You don't have to live that life of faith anymore because you got everything. That's what it's coming to right now, isn't it? But how shall we stock this new land if we eat everything? And then he starts to get sort of weird like we do when we get anxious. Well, maybe you'll cause a miracle and the fish will just jump out of the water and come over here onto land. Maybe instead of lice and flies and locusts and caterpillars, you'll just drop fish in. That could happen, you know. That could. And so we get anxious and we get all kind of weird ideas how God is going to fulfill his promise, and it's none of our business. So many people, God spoke to me and this is the way it's going to be fulfilled. And it's their own weirdness. They just can't wait on God, so they start claiming what God is going to do. I know, he'll just manifest herds of fish out here in the middle of the wilderness. They can't wait on the promise of God. God says, I'll take care of you. And they have to know how and when and why isn't it here yet? And that's where we're at right now. Aren't we? I know this isn't in the spiritual realm called highfalutin preaching, but it's the truth. Oh, Lord, it is the truth. The simple, plain truth. Wait on the Lord. Whew. Do you see where he made his mistake? He looked at the creature instead of the creator. Now, how far is this cow going to last if we cut it up? Now, if we cut it up, what will we have to go over with? Kind of like the fishes and loaves, and they got in their boat and they were going away. Oh, we forgot them 12 baskets! Let's go back, we'll starve! Oh my. No, he that makes fulfills. If he speaks, it is done, done by himself. His promises do not depend on our unreliable, puny, sluggard cooperation. He doesn't depend on that. We're undependable. I'll be there right on time. You can count on me, and then we don't make it. We're not there. How many are hearing this? You see, God is sovereign, and he gives an absolute promise, and he does it without fear of mistake. When we do things, we're afraid we're going to make a mistake, and so in that fear, we make a mistake. The mistake is that we fear that we'll make one. We've already made it. And that would be like saying, well, you know, Russia calls you. Rushka, tushka, nushka, we're gonna invade North Minneapolis, see? We get all excited. We say, well, North Minneapolis, we don't have no army down here. We only have a small North End police department. And the alderman's too busy to even get on the telephone. I mean, he's away from his desk, or he's busy in a meeting, or he can't call back. And you know, we're going to fail. And we forget all about the U.S. Army and the Navy and the Marines and the Air Force and all of that. And how absurd it is then to look for help where there is no help. It's not expected, nor is it promised. Don't expect too much from those that are busy pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps. They're busy. Holding themselves together. And yet, we do the very same thing. God has promised to supply our needs, and we look to the creature to do what God has promised to do. We start to look at the government, and we start to look at people, and we start to look at our parents, and we start to look at our wife, and we start to look at our husband. And that's all the way from money to our emotions. We look to all these for our money. We look to our emotions and our different things that are upset and so on. We start to look at the creature. What can you do for me? Can you help me? I'm miserable. Almost feel like saying, you said it. You need to go to the Lord. And then because we perceive the creature to be weak and to be feeble, we indulge in unbelief. We say, well, no, this person can't help me. So who can believe in anybody anymore? Stop believing so much in people and believe God will use people. And if he does use people, glory to God, that's beautiful. But don't depend on them and look at the creature over the Creator. It's like we have a bad year and the crops don't come in, or the turkeys don't come in, or the chickens don't come in, or whatever. And we say, what? No chickens? We start looking at the chickens. We better use this chicken sparingly, huh? And so we got a 400-pound tough turkey on our hands, or a chicken, because we're so busy looking at the creature. Cut it up and eat it. Throw it in a pot and have it done. God will get you another one. Say amen, somebody. Use what you got and stop being so stingy with God's money and God's things that he's given you anyway. But why look in that direction at all? Would you go to the North Pole to get a suntan? Of course not. I think it's just as foolish to look to the weak for strength and to the creature to do the Creator's work. God's will be done. I think the great folly here of Moses is the folly of most believers. Let's put this question today on the right footing. The ground of faith is not the sufficiency of the visible means. Listen. For the performance of the promise. Are you hearing this? But the all-sufficiency of the invisible God will do what he has said he would do. That's it. I have spoken, and so be it. Now, that's kind of hard for people to swallow, isn't it? Well, you spoke, but when are you going to do it? What time? Oh, yes. And then we still dare to mistrust the question of God will come to us if we do. has the Lord's hand waxed short? And then again, it may happen because of his mercy, that with this question there may come also the blessed promise. Isn't he wonderful? Thou shalt see now whether my work shall come to pass or not. Come to pass unto thee or not? Unto you. See, God deals with the individual, doesn't he? And let me ask you, is there not a fair question that God asks? Isn't that a fair question? Has the Lord's hand waxed short? I mean, if we look anywhere, if we look everywhere, apart from the conduct of man, looking everywhere and anywhere apart, away from us, from man, there is nothing to suggest any such suspicion. Are the heavens still intact? Aren't they? Billions of planets going around right on time? Doesn't that make you think we're serving a God of order? They can't figure it out with their little computers. Zillions of a whatever on time. I mean, it's perfect. And it just bugs them. They try to make a machine that'll figure out how perfect God is. Well, how perfect is God? You say, God's perfect. And everybody says, how perfect is he? How perfect is perfect? Well, perfect is perfect, and leave it at that. And by the way, has the sun lost any time? Can you get up in the morning and say, hey, you're late. What's going on? Oh, my. Ooh, are the revolutions of any of the planets off by one degree, any degree, a millionth of degree over all the millions and millions of eons of time? No. Are there any signs of decay upon the face of God's chosen and God's creation? Are there? Are there? Can you hear what I'm saying today? God is a perfect God. Why do we doubt? Do the showers still fall? Do the flowers still bloom? Yep. Oh, yes. They're blooming right now. Love is busting out all over. Poop, 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 poop. They're coming up. Right on time. Are you hearing it? God, it shakes them a little bit, and then we have Mother's Day. We've got flowers for you. Right on time. Did you have to remind God, remember, it's Mother's Day, got to have flowers. I mean, do we not realize that we serve a God of complete order, perfect in every detail? Are not all of his prophecies still fulfilled to the letter? Does he not cause all things to work together for good? Oh, people hate that. Work this one together for good. I just cannot believe his word. All of his cattle on 1,000 hills are still fed. And I thought, do you think that the birds are losing feathers and getting sort of like looking like skeletons from hunger? No, they're still out there. Tweet, 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 tweet. They aren't worried about it. How about the fish? Are they belly up? No, God takes care of them. Does he not support every living thing? Think about it. And is not his grace still sufficient? Are sinners still saved? Now, after the wedding yesterday, there was quite a few people that came up and they said, I don't know, that was different. I felt peace. They got saved. have to explain it to them. That was God's business. You just put the word out and God fulfills his promise. If you'll speak my word, they'll get saved. Are you hearing this? Whoa! Glory to God. Are you hearing it? How many are hearing this word today? And I read this psalm. It says, Psalm 81 and 10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And I thought, oh, I like that. Because when you open your mouth wide, you can't say anything. That's when the dentist usually talks to you, don't you see? Does that hurt? Oh. And if we open our mouth wide, God will fill it, and we won't be filled with arguments. Whatever's in your heart comes up into your mouth and your lips start flapping. I wonder if that's why we yawn when we wake up in the morning. God's filling us up. Ask and you shall receive. Open up your mouth and let some love fly in. For some hate flies out. Ooh, how many are hearing this today? But is not his grace still sufficient? Are not people still delivered? Okay, now let's have order in here today. Everybody going to sit here? If you didn't go to the toilet before you came, then you're just going to have to suffer right on through this message. Say amen, somebody. Is not the word of God still quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword? Well, I don't, it feels like it's getting kind of dull. And you keep monkeying with the sword, and you'll find out just how sharp it is. It says that we don't use the sword. We don't call for it. By the way, are any of his arrows blunted? Has the sword been broken? Maybe that's it. And when God has assayed a metal, and a heart I'm talking about, and assayed a heart to melt it down, has he failed at all in any case, no matter how hard it is? No. He fulfills all of his promises and all of his counsels, and that is it. And I thought to myself, how is it then that such a question as this ever came from the lips of God himself? Who suggested it? What suggested it? What could there have been that should lead him or any of his creatures to say this, is the Lord's hand waxed short? And the answer is, there is but one creature that God has made that ever doubts him. The sparrows don't doubt. They keep right on a chirping. The ants don't doubt. They're out there making hills right now, getting ready for the picnic season. Every animal and every insect is in chorus to God. They don't doubt. Even the devils believe, it says, and tremble. Oh, for a few trembling saints. But it was left for man, the most favored of all creatures. Now you're hearing this? To mistrust God. How many are hearing this? Now, honey, I want you to sit right there and listen to this message, and the rest of you too, see? How many are hearing this? We got to have discipline in the house of God. That's what it's all about, teaching each other. See, the time I'm talking about, time is growing short. And so if we're only here for just a short time, let's have ourselves ready to hear the word of God. Oh, gee, that's so cruel to do things. Hey, that's not cruel. That's what God wants us to do, to take charge. But none of the animal kingdom doubts. I shall try now, God helping me, to mention four or five even cases in which men act as if they really believed that God's hand had not waxed short, that his power is unlimited. And let's hope a healing happens here today. And see whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Wait and see. Oh my God, wait and see. I believe, first of all, the church acts many times as if God's hand had been shortened. Many believe right now that the gospel has no power. How many are hearing this? They believe that it's ear-tickling time. And we preachers think it's risky business to preach the truth because you might offend a few people and they might leave the church. Good riddance. Don't let the door hit you in the seat of the pants on the way out, but good day, sir. And a lot of compromise is being preached, isn't it? Well, you see, the people are tired. You know, they're tired. Well, they're tired because they're running all over. That's why. Sit down and wait upon the Lord and stop looking for someone to give you a word. You know, that's harder, waiting and running all over for people to give you a word. If you got a word for me, word for me, word for me, word for me, and going all over looking for a word, that's hard. And people like to take the easy way, but it's not the easy way. Sit down and shut up and God will come to you. Stop running all over. Got a word, 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 got a word. Oh, God. God were to speak to you and say, sit down and shut up. Isn't that what you tell your kids? Isn't it? Sit down and shut up. You won't get no supper at all. Oh, my. But after all, the people are tired. They need another gospel. The no-work, always-learning, get-what's-coming-to-you gospel. There's more for you out there. Oh, that just makes me ill. There's more. Did you realize there's more? And we got 900-pound word hogs running around. There's more. They never give out. They're not exercised. They just sit in great, big, huge lumps. More. Always learning, but never coming to know Jesus. The person that's always running, telling everybody their problems. Why is that? Because their hearts are full of their problems and they haven't given them to God yet. They haven't opened up their mouth and let God fill it. And so we run all over. This happened and this happened and that happened and this happened and I don't know what I'm going to do. And then a person gives them some counsel, and they run the next one. This happened, this happened, this happened, that happened. What am I going to do? And then they have 14 counsels. And all a real preacher had to tell them was, seek ye the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. Seek him while he yet may be found. Because if you keep running all over, God might disappear from you for a while. Then you will be in a fix. Oh, but we don't want to do that because you want to hold on to little darlings. Well, the way I see it, I think it's this way and I think it's that way. I'm not against counsel, but I'm against counseling everybody all the time about everything. And not, you know, putting them on to Jesus and say, here's what the Word of God says. Do that and you'll prosper. Do the opposite of that, you're going to be in the dumps. Or the, we'll pray for you, brother, gospel. But could you excuse us right now? See, we're going in for a large feeding. Sort of like a whole bunch of spiritual munchkins. Always feeding, but never feeding someone else. But I believe, many believe God's hand is short here. We are always looking for something new, some new revelation, some new teaching, some new formula to success, and we become dry and hard to satisfy and cold. Money before we move, gospel. The gospel or a faith that's moved by money instead of a faith that's moved by love. our missions all over must be paved before we'll go. We're afraid to trust God. Our source is God, and let's pray for it. I'll tell you one thing, if we faithfully preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will have results. God is never absent where the gospel is preached. Never. Then I hear the Christians in school. Well, we can't pray. It's a court order that we can't pray. Oh, rebellious, rebels. And someone tells you, you young people out there listening on the radio, that you cannot come in with a punk hairdo with a shock of orange hair coming off the side of your head and leather pants on so tight that you got to, lose weight to get out of them. You just go ahead and do it, don't you? But when it comes time for Christian young people to stand up and pray, they say, we can't. You can. Stand out in the middle of the hall and praise God. Say, what'd you say? I said, praise the Lord. Well, they got guts enough to do everything else, haven't they? Don't they? And don't a lot of us Christians just sort of fit in with it? Don't we? Don't we fit in with the swing and the jive and everything? But when it comes time to praise the Lord, oh, it's court order. Doors are closed on prayer. Now, I know myself, if I was a Christian, they told me years ago I couldn't pray. That's exactly what I would do. Now, I'm not saying my attitude would have been right towards it, but I would have done it anyway. They come in here, you cannot pray. I say, oh yeah, praise the Lord! I believe if we were serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the school kids could take over the whole school. Has his arm been shortened? No, his arm hasn't been shortened. I remember years back when Debbie was in school and they were laughing and hooting and they were, oh, your dad is our nobles. And she kept right on. She was the queen later on. You know, they had the theme, Stairway to Heaven. And that's what they had. Her and this fellow she led to the Lord, the king and queen, going up the stairway to heaven. How about that for the arm of the Lord? But we're so afraid. We want to fit in. We want to zoop-de-doo. Don't you see? Don't get too vocal about the Lord, see? Because, one thing, you lose popularity. Huh? Hey, I'd rather be popular with God, wouldn't you? Oh, I don't mind if people screw their face up at me, but God does. Say, somebody, when God holds his nose, that kind of makes me want to tremble. Say amen, somebody. So fearful of preaching the gospel. You want a cause? You want to be a rebel? Want to be a troublemaker? Be a troublemaker for the Lord. Even the angels had to come down and trouble the old stale water. Let that be a lesson to you. Go on down there and trouble the water. Ooh, shake them up there and cause a little flood in the school or in the church. Splash! Everybody's standing up here, up to their nose in water, stagnant water, and they're afraid somebody will jump in, make a wave, and they'll drown. Don't make a wave! Is God's arm shortened with your neighbors, with your friends, with strangers? I didn't get a witness to talk to him. I'm just waiting. God says the minister in season, out of season, handy or not, not to waste any time. To love one so many times. It's so hard to minister to your own family. Why? It's not hard to minister to your family. It's hard to listen to what they have to say after you minister to them. Hey, I don't want to hear none of that weird stuff, see? This isn't a place for it. You've already said it. We'll just say, well, I'm all done. I said it, and I'm glad. How many are hearing this? It's the hardest people to witness to. And that, you know what it is? It's your mom and dad and your kids and your aunt and uncle and your folks. And it's so hard. It's not hard. It's hard for your flesh. It might not invite you back for a while. Well, don't invite him to a party. He will ruin it every time. Comes in here with Jesus, and he just ruins the whole thing. You kids, you should take Jesus right into school with you. Huh? Shouldn't you? Walk right in. I mean, Jesus. Walk right into school with Jesus. You don't have to go, you know, walking down the aisle with the rest of them. Bebop, doo, da 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 doo, da da doo, root doo doo doo, da da da, root doo doo doo, huh? What is that proving? That proves you're an ass in the wilderness. That's scripture. Oh, it shocks people. That's scripture. Just get a, had a message on it. Seeing all those mouths go, ah! Let God fill your mouth up. But hasn't God taken us through many trials down here? And will he not continue to do so? And people wonder, oh, here comes a big trail. I wonder if they'll make it now. I wonder if God's arm is too short. He's reached as far as he can. I don't think he can reach that far now. Oh, it's going to fall down. Will not the funds come in from some unchangeable source, namely God? And I believe as a mission ministry, are we not much more effective if we believe God instead of the funding organizations? Should we trust in the means or the bare arm of God? His hand and his arm have not been shortened. Then when believers doubt their God with regard to providence, the question might be asked about them. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Now, you listening on the radio, there's going to be a whole lot of people going into bankruptcy. Loss of jobs, loss of homes, pulling away of cars, and business people and workers and retired people and many unemployed. That's what the picture's looking like right now. Oh, geez, well, go ahead and name it for everybody, will you? No, I'm just telling you like it is. The Bible says so. Then where's your shucking and jiving going to take you? Social Security, I said, I bet you 10 years ago, is going to put things down and say closed. You remember that? And that's exactly what's happening. Wait a minute, I worked all my life for that. Well, you worked for the wrong thing. You were looking at the creature and not looking at the creator. What are they going to do? They're going to take away. They're going to cut benefits. You're looking at the creature again. Say amen, somebody. It says in the Bible, men's hearts shall fail. Banks right now are scrambling to repossess. They've already got their plans. They've spread their maps out. We'll claim here and we'll get this and we'll get that and we'll pull this building down. We'll build bigger barns. Do you notice all the buildings that are going up lately? Man, where is this, all this money coming from? You and me? Repos. Loan sharks are going to bare their teeth. says men's hearts shall fail. And you know why they're going to fail? Their hearts were full of the wrong god, Mammon. That's where a lot of our faith ministries and our things that we teach people are. Filling their hearts with a desire for Mammon and all that Mammon could buy, and it is unshared riches. Instead of turning our people onto God and turning our people onto what they should be looking for, the coming of the Lord, they're looking for the coming of a Cadillac. Go ahead. The Bible says famines will come, and they're right here right now. Wars and rumors of wars, and they're here right now. But we're going to trust in the Lord, right? 2, 3, 4. 4 I writes. Yeah. Not too sure? You have nowhere else to go. Nowhere else to go. Friends are going to let you down, the Bible says. Mother against daughter. Son against the father. Mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Banks against the people. People against the banks. It's all going to come a tumbling down. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. It's coming down. Earthly kingdoms are falling down while the kingdom of God is coming down. In the shadow of God's coming kingdom. The shadow of the coming of the Lord and the kingdoms of God are causing a fear. It's making devils tremble. Are you hearing this? Jesus says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. The unsaved seek. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Then also consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of those. They're not worried about it. They're just trusting in the Lord. Are they worried about it? No, they just smile up into heaven. Are you hearing this? People are getting fearful. They are. Oh my God, I hope. Hey, are you hearing this? See, it's good to preach this because this is exactly what's happening right now, isn't it? Will he then forget us? No, he's not going to forget us if he doesn't forget the lilies and the sparrows. We must increase our believing by our actions. Now, if you really believe God is going to take care of you, you're going to get in your cupboard and give up. If you got 2 cans of beans, you're going to give 1 can to somebody else. And if you only got $10, you're going to give 5 of that dollars to somebody that needs that $5, aren't you? If you really believe God. And so you see, it'll all work out if we don't get all bound up with her. White lips, and fall apart, have a nervous fit. That's what's going to happen, though. People's stomachs are churning, and the big money men, they got people's, their stomachs are churning. It says even in the end, people's bowels are going to be loosed. There's going to be a stink around, folks. Say amen, somebody. How many are hearing this? Not giving you Bible. It says their bowels will let go for the fear. Ooh. But also, there is another way by which this question might be very naturally suggested. That is when a man who has faith in Christ is exercised with doubts and fears in regard to his own salvation. And there are a lot of preachers that really don't believe in the full assurance of God and the full salvation, so rich and full and free that God glorifies people, that there are elect people, that he predestinated them to be saved and he will do the thing and he hath done it. No, they don't believe that. And preachers, if you preach doubt, and if you preach doubt right here in salvation, stop preaching. Do not preach anymore. Go off with your own doubt. If you're not sure yourself, how then can you persuade others? I think that's very criminal to doubt God. Some preachers preach so much doubt, I think they think doubt is the way to heaven. Instead of saying things are getting brighter every day, things are getting darker every day, huh? Where does it say that doubts, by your doubts you shall be saved? By your believing, not by your doubting. But however, many, many of us, at times, children of God, stand and doubt God, and this is sin of the very worst kind. Now for you that are listening that think they're unsavable, unredeemable, is the Lord's hand waxed short? And then God adds, and this is so great, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Isn't that a confidence builder? God gives a question and answers the question for you because he knows what's in your heart. Well, let's settle that issue right now. Wait and see. I'm going to fulfill it. I have spoken. It will be done. Oh, God. But you think you are unsavable. I'm afraid I can't be saved. I'm too callous, I'm too mean, I'm so naked, so miserable, so poor. I have grieved the Holy Spirit. I have sinned against light and knowledge. No one, God himself, cannot save me. Now listen, you people listening on the radio, maybe even sitting in here, you're only adding to your sin. You are saying his grace is not sufficient. He is able, you have to be willing, and that's all there is. Stop listening to Satan. In Psalm, listen to this now. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. My times. Isn't that good? My times are in your... Where are your times at today? Are you having a time? God, I'm having such a time with that kid. I'm having such a time in my life. I'm having such a time. I'm having a rough time. I'm having a hard time. And what does David say here? My times, plural. Good times, bad times. All my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Wow. He holds in his hands and by his power all the issues of our lives. Isn't that a comfort? We are not some kind of waves or strays upon the ocean of fate, but we are steered by infinite wisdom. Oh, I believe God can, you know, direct the plants and the birds and the bees and all the planets and everything, but he can't direct me. You don't want to be directed, but he can direct you. Hear me.
Yes. Yes. What did I say? Go to school. No, you don't understand. I don't want you to go in the mud hole. I don't want you to go over here in the bushes. And I don't want you to walk on that fence up there and show off to all them little girls. I want you to go straight towards the bus. Now what did I say? You said don't show off to the girls. A little bit at a time. I mean, it just sinks in slow, okay? They hear what they want to hear. That's the same way with preaching to folks, isn't it? They hear what they want to hear. And if they don't want to hear something, they turn it off. And they hear one little thing that just sort of delights them. That's why people always go after dessert ministries. Because they always get sweets and goodies. Like kids. The first thing a kid wants is sweets. And the first thing a lot of times that Christians wants is the sweets. And they look at the whole table. Oh, chocolate wafer. And that's the same scriptures they want too. They want those little nibblers. Oh, these are dainty little darling little scriptures. Aren't they tasty? Have you ever heard Christians say that? Isn't that a tasty? That's what they want. They'll go all over after pastries. That's what they're full of. Junk food. Say amen, somebody. No meat and potatoes. No vegetables. Nothing that'll build them up spiritually. They want dainties. This is meat and potatoes ministry. You want to nibble on sweets, then go on over to the sweet palace. Say amen. A lot of times those things are sweet in your mouth, and the Bible says bitter in your belly. Doesn't the Word of God say that? Ooh. Oh, God. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, from them that persecute me. Now, here's something I got to tell you. It's a very lawful desire to want to escape from persecution if it is the Lord's will. Jesus said it. Take this cup, if any way I can get out of this, but if it be your will, then be so. I'll drink it. Oh, it's getting awful quiet in here. God, it's dangerous falling, God. What if it's His will that I go through this persecution? Well, what if it is? It'll be for your own good. Now, the kid is down here, back to Junior, and you're watching him out the window. And he looks back up at the window. They give you a sort of a dumb look, you know. They look back, see if you're watching. And you're watching, so they get walking again, see? Huh? And they turn around, you aren't there, and their heart just leaps. Ooh. Up on the fence, walking back and forth on the fence. Off into the mud puddle. What do you think they're going to get when they get back home? Persecution. That's what they'll call it. And that's what it is, but it's for their own good. Now, you did not listen to Mommy, did you? No, you didn't. Now, my mother would say, you go in the other room and take down your pants because I'm going to give you 10 licks. Okay? And she'd always give me 11. I never forget that. We lived in a little apartment. She says, now, I don't want you crying because, you know, there's neighbors right next to her. They can hear every word. And I thought, well, they could hear them slaps, too. Ha, 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 ha.
laughs hurt. My brother and sister are over there giggling in the other part of the room. Huh? They didn't dare giggle too loud. You know why? Because then it would be their turn. They'd learn a lesson before it happened. See, because just looking at me, they didn't learn it. You look at other people sinning, you don't learn your lesson. Just stand over there and kind of, aren't they strange? Aren't they weird? It's almost a fascination to do it yourself then. But praise God, sometimes God catches you and chastises you as children before you get into it. Okay, laughing, think it's funny, huh? 10, one to grow on. Woo! Polly Purple Buns, they used to call me. I never minded my mother. I remember I was about 13 years old, and I was just, no, I was probably about 10, I guess. And I'm running, we had this stairway, and I was running up these stairs. Oh, you can't catch me. Come on, Ma. Up the stairs, down the other side. I fell down, I sprained my ankle. I said, Ma, I sprained my ankle. She said, so? Oh, and isn't that the way it is with God? But God, don't you see how miserable and poor I suffered enough? God says, so? God will take you away from a persecution if it be His will. But if it will do you some good, and He, in His infinite wisdom, knows His children, then you're going to go through it. And when this may not be granted us in the form in which we desire, I'm talking about this persecution. Sustaining grace will give us deliverance in another form. Unto thee I commit my spirit. His sustaining grace will give us a deliverance at the midnight hour. He'll give us another way out, and His grace will be sufficient during that time of peril and persecution by enabling us to laugh and to scorn all the fury of the foe. My times. And we say, boy, am I going through a time. Hard times, dry times, some good times. Times plural. To make, I believe, the mark, the variety of casualties by which our lives are usually harassed. My times. I'm going to give all my times to God. Then it goes on, in thy hand. The clock that hangs on the wall. When every tick of the clock brings a sigh and a consciousness from the person that's waiting upon time. What a torture that is. Are you waiting for something now? I'm just waiting to get this new that or this new that, and I'm waiting for God to fulfill this, and we're really looking at time. You got to give the time of fulfillment unto the Lord. Time. What a torture that is to wait on time. You're supposed to be waiting upon the Lord, not time. Give your times into His hands. And I believe we must transfer our thought from the watch to the hand that holds the watch. My times, thy hand. My times. What does that mean? My life. Isn't all your times all added up, your life? And don't we sit down and say, remember the time? The time we tore the goalpost down, huh? all of the times added up together are your life. This is your life program could have been named, this is your time. You're all little time pieces. And your little timepieces, your clock, if you will, should be put into God's hands, your times, your life. Give your life to God. Give it to the watchmaker. Give it to the creator and stop looking at the clock. Stop looking at yourself. My life. You are one of God's watches right now, keeping time. God gives man permission to behold two things. I'm closing here. Man can see the whole work and plans of completeness. We can see that. And also the minute's work, the first step towards the plan of completeness. Because it's all in time, isn't it? In good time. Well, in good season, and there's a season for everything, and there's a time for everything. There's a time to be glad, and a time to be mad, and a time to be married, the time, and a time, and a time, the time to raise children, and a time to praise the Lord. But the end of God's real way is made up of all the ways of our lives. His hand holds all our times, my times, thy hand. I know that many of our lives, all of our lives differ from one another. Yes, they do. But still, all of you born again, the hand of Jesus is the hand which rules our times. Be obedient to the Lord. Time marches on. Jesus is going to ask you, where were you when? Where were you that time when I called upon you to go to the prison? Where were you when I called you to feed the poor? Where were you that time? You don't wait on time, you get into time, into God's hand, eternal time. And so your clock is running down and out. Put yourself right now, your time, into His hand. Let us be still right now, very, very still, and listen to the time pieces. Listen. The beating of your heart is a time piece, isn't it? What are you doing with time? Go over here, listen. What's this life's clock saying? My time's Bob. Tick, tock, tick, tock. I hate myself. I hate myself. I hate myself. You better give your time to the Lord, Bob. Where are you right now? You're just tick-tocking? Is this your clock? Why not give your timepiece to the Lord? Your times. Your miserable times. Look over here, this worried-looking my time Sally. What next? What next? I can't go on. I can't go on. I'm so miserable. And her hair is all hanging down on her clock. And her arms are kind of hanging sort of lazy. Her clock arms, her hands are sort of lazy. I'm so miserable. I don't know if I can make it another day. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick. And hair hanging down. Looks like she got the gray sickness. Oh, I'm so depressed. Tick, tock, tock. Time goes so slow. Tick, tock. You're running out of time. You better give your miserable, rejected self to God. for all your mean springs pop. And look over here at this hung up number over here.
What time is it? What time is it? What time is it? What time is it? And this little clock is running all over the plant asking everybody, what time is it? What time is it? What time is it? What time is it?
Gotta have a drink. 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 And every hour his little cuckoo comes out. Cuckoo! 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 An old boozed up bird with all... Huh? Little jug in its hand. Time. Why don't you give your times into his hand, booze nose? Your face is all yellow, the face of your clock is all yellow, and it's all scratched and it's all marked up, and God wants you. He wants to rewind you. He wants to fashion you, make you new so you'll run like the sun. All these old marriage clocks. Oh, if there's one thing than one maladjusted clock, it's two living together. Grumble, 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 grumble. Huh?
I hate you! I hate you!
Two clocks. Now, do you believe in miracles? These two shall become one? God can do it. Can he? Can he? God can take those two clocks and make them run, and they can run in perfect time together if they give their times into the hand of the Lord. Our times were getting over, and you just got married. You say, God, I'm going to give you my timepiece, and you just take your timepiece. But it's a 14-karat gold to just give it to God. You take your little dainty timepiece, you, and then you put yourself in there, and God will work it out for you. He'll put you together. You think he can make you run smoothly? Well, it's a job for God, let me tell you. So what have we said here today? Give your time to Jesus. Give your worries, give your fears, give your anxieties, and give all your lonesomes and stuff to God. Your times, and no one will snatch you, it says in the Word of God, out of the Father's hands. So come now and let God clean your clock. God says, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass or not. You married couple that gave your little watches and your clocks to God, now I will perform it. You want to see if I can do it or not? Okay. And all of a sudden you see this little new clock. Tick, tock, tick, tock, an example clock. Tick, tock. Tick, tock, an example for other people to follow. Tick, tock, did it happen overnight? No, it happened when you gave all of your times, all of your life, all of your frustrations, and we blame everything, and we say, well, the reason I'm this way and that way, my mother never paid any attention to me. We're not talking about the creature. I'm not calling your mother a creature. But this is Mother's Day. You know? You don't look at the creature. You look at the Creator. Do you believe God to take and put you, if you just take all your times, all of your miserable times, you out there have been misused, you the young kids have been into incest and all kinds of things, give all those time, your timepieces to God. Give that timepiece, your timepiece is all inside of that clock. Give it all to God. And then you don't walk around and you have to go to this council and that council. See, when you were a baby, you were bounced on your head a couple times, and this is what happened to you, see? See? And all this kind of thing. Give your times to God. And you give all your times to God. And you know, all those things when
people didn't love you like they should have, and, oh, God, doesn't anybody love me? And if they paid more attention to me, I'm just using it for example because you're fresh married, and they didn't pay any attention, you know. And that's the way, I'm the way I am, and so you got two miserable clocks there. Who's going to use you for an example to see what time it is? Nobody's going to come up and say, hey, what time is it to you? But when you're in the Lord and God has made you into something to see, people are going to come up and they're going to say, wow, this is a smooth running clock. How did you ever get this clock? How did it ever happen? You can sit down and give your testimony on how God put it together when you just gave all of your times, the whole of your 20 years old or whatever old you are. You know what I mean? Are you 20? 22? Okay. It took your whole, all your times from your babyhood up and put them all together. You say, God, here's all this mess. And you got all the mainsprings and the springs and the face of it and everything. You just throw all that whole little bag of it and you just dump it out in his hands. Ooh. And then he mixes them all together. Who can separate us from the love of God? Nobody. He's the one that's going to put you all together, make you work. Say amen. Did you get something out of today's message? Praise the Lord. Come on, let's hear it for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.